Welcome to the Santam Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Ma Palomaku.
And me, Maya Fisher-French. Now, for those of you who've been following this podcast series, you will know that we've been taking Santam staff members through a money bootcamp. And last week, we had our finale to celebrate these amazing people who, have gone through a transformation. I mean, Mapala, I mean, that is what it was. It was a transformation.
Absolutely, Maya. And what an incredible event. What an incredible finale. Because this is a 6 month journey where people are bearing their soul, basically, right? Because at the beginning, they sent you their bank statements. They sent you their investments. They sent you their debt statements. Literally, we look into their financial life with a massive lens. And they have to submit this to a complete stranger, Maya. A complete stranger, but they did it. They absolutely did it. They followed through and yielded to the process.
Absolutely. And I think it takes a lot of guts to allow us into their lives, but they did. But what I wanted to give the listeners is a little bit of a taste of some of the comments made by the mentees at the finale, just to give them a little sense of what they achieved and just this just incredible transformation.
And it's just being so empowered in yourself to be able to read the fine print and question it. I think a lot of these entities don't expect us to question them.
That's what I wanted to say, that I think this was less about the saving and the debt and all of that. It was really a journey of self-discovery for me, asking the right questions.
So identifying being an emotional spender really assisted me with the habits.
And I felt like I was kicking them out, but I needed to put myself first because especially I was drowning, I really was. And then after that, oh, the relief.
It's about the mental mindset around money that has empowered me.
Guys, you took away the embarrassment with talking about money.
They were saying in our last group meeting that my daughter, 11-year-old, she asked me, Zani, do we have a trust?
Yeah, just like the positive attitude. So how I approach my finances.
After my meeting, I canceled all the subscriptions that's linked to my credit card. I deleted all takeaway apps.
But now that I've been through the journey, I can successfully sit down and work through these budgets, watch my spending, raise my 3 kids on my own. I don't need anyone to help me with that.
You know, Mapala, listening to those voices again and just reflecting on the day, what struck me so much, and it came up again and again and again, was that this was not about money, but about empowerment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, Maya. And for me, what was incredible, even a physical manifestation of empowerment was one of the mentees. When we started, Maya, she was just so incredibly shy. I mean, even her posture, she had this like hunch about her and really was always apologizing, even when we were doing the one-on-one sessions. And for some reason, I thought to myself, you know what? This person, if they fix their perception of themselves and their self-esteem, they can start doing much better in money. So can we knight ourselves as as psychologists or therapists?
Well, I think what the transformation I see around that as well is I just think of one or two of my mentees who were so scared to look at the numbers. Mm. They were terrified. The thought of writing down a budget, the thought of actually tracking their spending, of knowing where their money went, terrified them. It actually gave them paralysis. And one of my mentees did come to the first meeting not having done anything. She just completely transformed during the process. And she said, I don't understand why I was so scared. Because once I understood what I needed to do and I actioned it, I have control. And now she has this incredible relationship with her money where she tracks things, she looks at it. And we actually had an incident where she had to deal with the bank. And she said, Maya, before I would have just not phoned.
Yeah.
I would have ignored it.
I would have hit my head in the sand and hoped that this situation is going to just evaporate. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important part, Maya, that, you know, I'll give an example. One of the mentees said, I was so afraid to check my credit score because what if it was bad? Mm. But doesn't that give you the power to know, okay, this is where I am, and yes, now I'm going to take a look at the steps that I need to make to make sure that my credit score becomes better? I think there's that fear, right? Fear and shame around money is a big one. And I think that was one of the themes that came out very strongly, that at the beginning of this journey, everyone or most people were quite fearful and they had a lot of shame around money.
I think that is very important, is shame. Shame also... And I think when one is dealing with people like this, you have to be very non-judgmental,
yeah,
because there is no right and wrong,
yes,
right? If we all get caught up in stuff. But also what I realized was knowledge is power. So, you know, I had one of my mentees who, when she saw the numbers, once we had put down the budget, once she realized how much short she was every month, it drove her to have conversations with her extended family, mm-hmm, that she was supporting her dad, her sister, her unemployed husband, her three kids. And the numbers, when she saw them, she could sit down with them and say, here are the numbers.
Yes.
I can't do this. And, you know, because she was able to share that with them and take control of the situation, they all... You know, the dad moved out and the sister, and they all got, the sister got a job. And
imagine.
Exactly. People took action, but you have to go to them and say, look, this is my situation, but you need to know your situation.
Yes.
So I think those.
You have to be fully aware of your situation and acknowledge your situation.
Absolutely. Now, knowing where your money's going is a really, really, really important. And, you know, if we keep sticking our head in the sand and just hoping something will happen, that's not all that's going to give us is fear.
Yeah.
That actually
and
is
anxiety.
Where the, and then huge anxiety. I mean, gosh, the word anxiety came through so much. But what was amazing is how none of them had anxiety by the end.
They,
it's not like, by the way, Mapula, we didn't solve their debt problems, right? It's not like suddenly they were debt free. But they did, they were in control.
Yes.
And they knew we had a plan. I do think every single one of our mentees will be debt free sort of by the middle of next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the fact that there's a plan in place actually gave them a huge amount of
inspiration. And I think that's the biggest advantage, right? And I just want to go back, Maya, to, because normally we talk about, okay, someone is fearful, they don't look at the numbers because they know that they are in trouble. What of those people who are not really in trouble? I'll give you a scenario. One of my mentees, she wasn't in trouble. She was sort of managing okay, but she would make statements like, oh, we need to buy a new car, but would never really look at the numbers, make an informed decisions based on numbers. Once she was able to do that, I mean, they were renting a 2-bedroom apartment. Oh, no, you know, now the baby's here. We need a bigger room, a bigger property. So they were thinking about getting a 3-bedroom apartment. Oh, no, we're going to get a car. Once I started saying there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely, but let's take a look at the numbers. What do the numbers look like? Will you be able to afford this consistently and sustainably for the long term? And we did a couple of scenarios. And one of the exercises I made her do is live like you are owning those things already, or live like you are in a 3-bedroom apartment. So if you're paying 5,000 and you're going to pay 7,000, put that 2,000 rent away every single month for the next 3 months. If you feel comfortable, then you're ready. If not, then perhaps it's time to look at the budget again. And she did that. She said, oh, no, Mapala. I need to get either another job or a side hustle that will supplement this. But right now, we're not going to be comfortable at all.
It's amazing because she's trial runned it.
Yes.
She's done a trial run without actually taking on the on the consequences of it. So, I mean, that is just absolutely brilliant. I mean, I also the financial consequences. I wonder how often, because we don't run numbers, we don't understand the financial choices we make. I was speaking to a landlord. He rents out, studio flats for about 4,000 rand a month. And one of his tenants drives a Volvo, the new Volvo. So she, I wish Mapula's face was being filmed right now. So she's chosen to spend, to really take a very low, a 4,000 rand a month bachelor flat, effectively, to have a 1.2 million rand car. Now, the financial consequences of that, and that, you know, that is what wealth destruction, when that's where you put your money, not into property.
Yes,
so I think also those are some of the, you know, if you are buying a car, understand, you know, what does that do to some of your wealth creation opportunities?
Yeah, the ability to create wealth in the long run.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we are a bit short-sighted, because I would give you an example. Someone, she's a lawyer, and when she started working, she went also and bought herself a beautiful German car, right? And sooner or later, when she started educating herself about personal finance, financial literacy, and that's why it's so important, she said to herself, actually, the goals that I want to achieve, that thing where we say, oh, no, no, I want to be a millionaire. I'm actually pouring away the millions into a car versus me building assets that are going to make sure that I'm comfortable in the long run. So I think it's again, with this money bootcamp, it's just a reflection point to say financial literacy is so important. And it doesn't matter whether you have a degree or what. If you don't have financial literacy, you actually end up making decisions that are not good for you.
But I wonder to what extent people also don't want to do the numbers. Because when you do the numbers,
and yeah.
they tell you the numbers say you can't have the luxury car.
It sucks.
It sucks, right? So we think, so people, I do think there is that part of us that just says, I'm just going to do it anyway.
I'll figure it out.
But one of the things that also I noticed that came up quite as a theme when we were listening to people speaking was how many of them joined the money bootcamp for their children.
Oh, yes.
That was a powerful theme.
Oh, yes. And it's such a big motivation for a lot of people. I remember this other mentee, Lerato, she said, you know what? I do absolutely everything for my daughter. I want the very best for her. And once she started doing the numbers, her focus, she was one of the most clear. She had so much clarity about what she wanted to do now. And, you know, we'd run through the numbers and she'd say, no, actually, I don't need this. And the wonderful thing about the program is that, you know, she got another better job, but now because of the program, she knew exactly what to do with that increase. Whereas a lot of the times when we get that increase...
Oh, it's lifestyle.
It's lifestyle. Now, she would have gone and bought the three-bedroom apartment. And she said, we are going to stay here for another year. But what it's going to do for my investments...
And also what the sharing of them, they obviously they take their children on the journey with them. So first of all, it's a lot of it is I'm going to break the poverty cycle. I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm going to give my kids that step up that I wish I had had. So a lot of that motivation comes from there. But then also in doing so, they start teaching their children about money, right? Having money discussions. And I mean, Tokozani.
Tokozani.
I mean, her daughter
said one time, Mommy, do we have a trust? And her mom looks at her and says, what do you mean? What do you know about a trust? No, a trust is the thing where you put money so that when we are older, we have all this money because you saved money inside of that trust.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
I mean, how old's her daughter? Like six or something?
Six.
Yes. So don't...
Six.
I mean, we've discussed this in previous podcasts, but don't underestimate what children can absorb and understand.
Absolutely.
And the most important thing they absorb is your habits.
Yeah.
So if you want to break a cycle... Start by your own behavior.
100%.
Your children will see it, they will learn from it and have those money discussions. I think that's really powerful. But that really does bring me to another concern that I had with the program. Men are not that keen. We always have very few male
entries. Yeah.
Entries.
Yeah.
And then when we're doing the program, the women's husbands... They all start by saying, oh, we don't need to be part of this. We know everything. And then slowly but surely, Mapalo and I will see that because we do online one-on-ones. And then slowly the husband's head starts popping in to the conversations because they are learning.
And Maya, do you know one of the mentees, Knox, said, you know what my husband said? It's like, what qualifications does she have? Why do we have to tell her all about our finances? What does she know? And she said, well... If you think your finances are sorted out, perfect. Let me continue with the program. I'm enjoying it. It's opening my eyes quite a lot. One time the husband was there and saw me. Next thing, he's like, oh, so that's the person you've been talking to about our money. Okay, whatever. Next session, he was around. You know, I was on loudspeaker. He was kind of lingering around. I promise you, by the fourth session, he was sitting down on the session as well, asking questions.
We have to bring the men in slowly. It's like catching a fish, you know. You got to kind of just bring them in slowly but surely. But it is an interesting psychology, I think. And I do wonder, is it, we were asked this, you know, people said, why are men so reluctant to engage with this work? And I think it is the sense that they feel they're supposed to know it all.
Mm.
And whereas
what
a woman,
burden, Maya.
It's a burden. And I think for women feel like, oh, I can say I don't know this stuff because it's not my role. It's kind of like, you know, I think as women, we must know everything about motherhood or something. You know, yes. I don't know what our, we have similar sort of situations.
You must be this where, nurturing, yeah, perfect it just mother. Comes naturally
exactly.
to you.
And mm. and for men, they're supposed to be the breadwinners and understand money.
Oh, my gosh.
And it but for them, it's so liberating when they start joining these sessions. But I think we need to understand that even if you're in a relationship, you know, how do we have those conversations, because that came up a lot as well. And I think of Chantel, one of my mentees, who said, you know, she was struggling. She was, because this is the big problem, how you split your bills. The men usually do the car payments, the house payments, and the insurance. And the wife does all the day-to-day and kids. That goes up by inflation massively, and she starts struggling. But, you know, in Chantel's case, she just sort of felt, well, I'll keep quiet because he's carrying other stuff, so I'll just keep struggling. And then when she sat down and had the conversation with him, he said, but why didn't you tell me? And, you know, for all of them, when once they have those conversations, they start working together. Mm. And I think that is really powerful.
That is very powerful, Maya. And on the other hand, there are those who, you know, they start the conversations finally, but the men really don't come along. And I see just how it costs such a massive conflict, because we are here trying to implement, you know, some stuff around their finances, and yet the partner is still pulling away. I can see it causes such a big friction, just even within themselves. You know, I had one mentee who said to me, Mapalo, I feel like I'm not really showing up for the program because I'm not able to do some of the stuff that we've spoken about, because my husband truly is just not in on it. He closes me out, he shuts me out every time we try to talk about money. And I said to her, you know what, you're going to have to take care of yourself. You are going to have to take care of yourself. Do this program for you in the meantime. Hopefully one day he'll come along, but right now, don't quit just because your partner is not coming along.
But it is challenging when you are sharing households, kids. When you've got to make a decision to send your child to school and your partner's not discussing his financial situation or helping you plan for these decisions in the future, it is difficult. And I do recommend, and I have had a similar situation with one of my mentees where I said, look, I think this is marriage counseling. Yeah. I think when you cannot talk about money to your partner, it is a fundamental problem. And I think a few sessions of marriage counseling is actually required.
Yeah. It all boils down to the other person being willing, right? Because we did exactly the same thing. Likely Santam does offer a psychology session, and you can book for free. They could book for free. So they have all this
tools available.
And he just said he doesn't believe in, I mean.
Yeah, it isn't, but that is a marital problem.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, people often come and I say, look, I think that is a marital issue as well. But, you know, I actually had one of my mentees. It took a while, but he did eventually have the conversation, but it took a long time. So it is definitely one of the challenges. Maybe we should just chat a little bit about some of the tips that we gave our mentees, because I think that'll be, you know, for people who've been following this, they're just some kind of smart things that we did, or our mentees came up with themselves, that I think had quite a significant
Yes.
impact.
I'll start first, Maya, with Tokozani, right? And again, remember we said most of the program is not so much about the rents and cents. It's about empowerment. So with her, she used to be so negative when it came to money. So incredibly negative. I don't make enough. How am I supposed to do this if, you know? And I think a lot of South Africans, a lot of us, because of the pressure in the economy and everything else, it is quite pressing, right? We feel pressured. We feel, oh my goodness. And we are in a circle of just complaining and complaining and complaining. I said, okay, if you're going to complain, how do you think that has helped you so far? Can you, in the 6 months that we are together, start looking at your life in a positive way? I know, yes, the reality is that things are not exactly positive, but every single time someone asks you, you know, she says, even with her parents, with her kids, they used to know that she complains about money all the time. I don't have money. Don't ask me for that. You know I don't have money. You know I don't make enough. And I said, just tell them that, you know what, you are working something out. Let's do a budget. You know, just changing your language also around money. And what did she say at the finale?
Yeah.
She said, my language, even that alone, has just changed. Language has changed.
Yeah. So in 6 months, her language changed. And when you speak, say positive words, you feel more positive. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you being negative, sure, the reality is such that.
But there's nothing you can do about the reality, but you can change your attitude.
Absolutely.
And that is absolutely key.
Yeah. So attitude around money and just when life is challenging, attitude is everything.
So one of my mentees, actually, you know, was quite profound for me as well, because I've seen myself make the same mistakes. So when we did the, you know, why you need to go look at your budget, why we make you go look at your bank statements and your credit card statements, is because there's spending going on that you don't know about.
Yes.
So she didn't realize. She had signed up for so many apps and subscriptions and all of these things. And, you know, you sign up for it for 1 month and then you forget to cancel it. 2,000 rand worth of
subscriptions
coming off her credit card.
Oh my word.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, Maya.
And I thought about myself because and a lot of them were linked to, she's got a side business. So I think about me, I will maybe put on something like StreamYard, for example. It's an app for doing broadcasts, but I only need it for 1 month for a specific event that I'm doing. And then I forget to cancel it.
Yeah.
And it's 500 rand a month. And it runs off for a couple of months before I remember. So it's those things that actually add up. So I think anyone listening to this, go through your bank statement, your credit card, and look at things that are going off that you may have forgotten about. I mean, 2,000 rand. And then whilst you're at it, please check your bank fees.
Oh, yeah.
That one, you know, I always think it's obvious, right? Because I write about it all the time. But it is amazing how much people spend on bank fees. 400-500 rand a month. I mean, I spend, I think, 25 rand a month on bank fees. So it's quite an astounding thing, this bank fees. So yes. I think that, you know.
But also, Maya, just on bank fees, I know one of the questions within the WhatsApp group that we have with the mentees, when we were going through the exercise of looking at your bank statement, she said, I did not know I'm paying so much, 480 rand. And she was saying, but what about, you know, they give me lounge access, they give me this. I said, how many times do you travel? And she's like, well, not really. I said, so you are paying this cost. What is the benefit? So always looking at what is it that I'm paying? What is the cost versus the benefit? And I think it's just a nice thing to have. Like, oh, it's a black card, right? But practically, for me, I always think about it this way. If I'm paying 500 bucks and I'm not really getting the benefit of it, what if I took 250 bucks of that and just start putting it into my unit trust? Mm. What is the impact of that on my finances?
Mm. Absolutely. And I do think those benefits, the reward programs or whatever, you must be very careful. I must just tell you, I won't go into it now, but I have actually cancelled my reward program linked to my medical scheme because I did the numbers and I was like, I'm paying for this every month. How much am I getting back?
Yes.
And I think we forget to do that actual cost analysis. But the other one I pick up on bank fees is instant payments. People do every payment as an instant payment and it costs 7 rand. Why? You know, whoever you're paying can wait 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world. So I think it's those sorts of things that you can really, really pick up.
Yes. And one of the things, Maya, we did with one of the mentees, people do not know their pension provident fund benefits. I mean, she had funeral cover for this one. She had a life cover with this company. Whoever would call her, she would just go take it on. I said, what do you need these things for? You know, we did a proper plan to say, okay, your house, and she was paying extra towards the house. And I said, okay, this is actually how much your debt is, because your life cover needs to cover your debt, cover the kids until a certain age. And by doing that, she was saving herself 800 rand every single month. 800 rand, Maya. That's a lot of money.
And I mean, that is so. I also had one of my mentees who I was like, I kept saying to him, this is what people don't know what they've got. They've got an advisor, and they said, no, I've got all these investments. And when I looked at them, they weren't investments. They were life cover.
Oh, man.
If she died, her family were going to be very rich. But she didn't have enough retirement funds. So exactly that. So we said, listen, relook this. And the premiums that are going to life cover that you actually don't need, because her company cover is very rich. Yes. I mean, I must say that just sometimes staff. Really, they're very rich benefits. So going and taking life cover over and above that, her kids were grown up. They were grown up. Again, no debt. So what was the life cover for? Yeah. Like, I'm talking 10, 15 million rands worth of life cover.
Man.
Now, suddenly you can put those premiums towards your retirement funding. So that's also a really, really good example of just going and understanding what is it that all that you're actually paying for.
Yeah.
And I also had one mentee who was contributing her maximum 27.5% of her salary to her retirement.
Incredible.
Yeah, well, which was being a little overzealous because she had debt. But, but then she had an RA. Now she's not getting the tax benefits from the RA. So rather make it a tax-free savings account.
You know, every single time you look at these examples, you just realize that, when it comes to personal finance, it's in the intricate details. Mm. It's in the small things. And I think that's why good financial advice is so incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one for me that I gave was one of my mentees had a side business. And so many people have side businesses. Yeah. I mean, that's a growing, growing trend. And I said to her, what do you do with the profits from this business? Well, she can't tell me. The profits just get caught up in the lifestyle, right?
Yes,
I pull money out of there to buy groceries, or if I'm stuck at the end of the month or whatever. So I said to her now, because she sells a lot of product over Christmas and the festive season, and I said, right, she's in a lot of the markets, and I said, I want you to calculate what your expected profits are from this, and I want you to use it with intention. I want you to tell me what you're going to do with it. And she's going to pay her one son's school fees in advance for the year.
That is...
Now you're making that business do something for you.
Yeah.
And I think that sense of being intentional is very, very important.
Maya, then it brings us right into the next conversation. Bonuses. Bonuses. Do you know, of all the mentees I asked this year, I said, what did you do with your bonus in March? Most of them couldn't even remember what they did. It was one Knox who said, oh no, I put it into my bond because I didn't really need it. That was incredible. The rest, I can't actually remember. I said, this time around, you are going to write down your needs, what it is that you need to take care of. The first thing first, if you have debt, pay off your debt. If you don't have an emergency fund, build your emergency fund. I mean, you heard one of the mentees had built up 20,000 rand worth of an emergency fund. So having that intention with when big lump sums come into your account is so, so, so key.
Excellent.
Because then you actually have something to point at to say, you know what, that money did that for me, or I did this with that.
My business paid my kids' school fees. That's powerful, right?
Very powerful.
One of the things, though, around bonuses, and this is maybe a slightly contentious angle, is many of our mentees are with us because they're struggling, they're over indebted, right? That's why they go on to the program. That's what they're looking for help. So it makes sense to use the bonuses to settle debt. But I get very worried when people get into cycles where they use their credit card all year and then use the bonus to settle.
Kind of anticipating that.
Yeah. And that becomes what I call an anti-wealth trap. You want to be in a situation that when that bonus comes, it's not paying debt.
Yes.
It's investing.
Oh,
it's building wealth. It's going to build you a future. It's not just paying off last year's credit card. So I think that is, for me, a bit of a concern, the way I see people using their bonuses and credit cards. Yeah.
No, 100%. 100%. I think the whole thing here is that you have to take a look at yourself. What do I want my money to achieve for me? What do I want to say, you know what? I did that. I've built that. Not just that cycle and over and over of debt. Mm. Actually, one of the mentees, Maya, we're talking about mindset. She had this little accounts, like your clothing account here, then one for at the food store. And I said, why do you keep these things? You actually don't need them. Then she said, no, but you must always have. What if I just want to buy the kids something? I said, but you plan, don't you? You plan to buy. If you don't have cash, if you don't have money in your debit card, then don't buy them.
And well, you know what for me, what I always say to people is, and it's actually one of the points I also wanted to talk about today, is have a spending fund. Have something called the kids' clothes or the kids' fund, and fund it every month. Put something away every month. I have it. I have a gifts. I put money away for gifts. There's somebody that I support, and every December I want to give them a gift. So I put just 100 rand away every month, because by the end of the year it's 1.2. You know what I mean? So that's how you do it. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to find the money from thin air. You can actually just start putting money away into the kids' clothing account, gift account. And one of my mentees, she had a challenge because the father of her kids would help, but he would only ever pay in sort of about the 10th of the month. Mm. Now, as we all know, by the end of the month, you kind of need the money, right? Because the bills come at
the end of the month. Or right at the beginning.
You know, you need, that's when you need it. So what I got it to do is to create a cash flow account. So, you know, you have your bank account, and then, but linked to it, you have all these little savings accounts. And
I love those.
Mine all have little names, and I like to check the balances. And I said to call it your cash flow account. And when he pays, keep some of that money, because, you know, on the 10th, put some of it away. And then at the end of the month, you've at least got some of that for the next month.
Yes.
And you can kind of balance that cash flow. So I think a lot of the time we need to if we're getting money in at different times that doesn't fit our bills, we don't need to go into credit. Because what she would do is she would use her credit card to get between, you know, the beginning of the month
first
to the 10th.
Till the 10th.
Yeah, and then, of course, she didn't exactly go put the money into the credit card, you know, because she just kept spending. So a lot of it is about being strategic and trying to manage the cash flow over that period.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned even on the finale, I think we were having a conversation with one of the mentees on how scheduling payments is such a... And I've started doing that. I literally started.
All my
payments
are scheduled.
Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do that? And it's such a it makes everything so seamless. Mm. It makes everything so seamless.
Yeah, I mean, I pay all my, you know, any monthly things I have, like my Pilates. I'm of the age where I have to do Pilates for my bank. It just goes off straight away, and they always thank me because I pay on time
consistently and on time,
because you don't remember otherwise. Let's be honest. Yeah. Oh, flip! I forgot to pay that person or that person.
I know.
So it's just scheduled and it goes off my account. And that means that all the money, so within 2 days of being paid, because I pay myself a salary, within 2 days of being paid, all my bills are done.
Yeah.
What's left there is left, I know is left.
Exactly.
So, and I think that is, for me, really, really powerful.
I love that, because I've always just kind of, I have 2 days where I know I'm sitting down, okay, I'm taking care of this, I'm taking care of that. But in times when you are quite busy, you know, I just hate getting a call from someone, hey, please remember to pay for the child swimming.
So guilty.
You know, you're like,
Mapla and I like to pay our bills.
Oh, please, I do. let's talk about fear, Maya, again. You know, we had one gentleman this year, Tebo. And Tebo, like any normal person, you know, he had a car, has a house, but he was renting out his property, and the tenant left, and he couldn't find a tenant for 3 months, right? And he didn't have an emergency fund, and he panicked. And when I mean panicked, it sent him into a bit of a anxious spiral where he even wanted to go do a debt review, right? So I think especially for young people who... You'll hit bumps along the way. You will. That's just part of life. Is that when you are facing a very financially challenging time, take a minute, breathe, try to speak to a good financial plan. I know sometimes it's not easy, you know, to find, but that was his whole thing, that he kind of got so anxious and was looking for a quick fix solution, and he wanted to get into debt review, and that's when he started the program, and he was feeling so, so incredibly down, saying, you know what, again, he's the type of person who wants to make sure he pays his bills on time, and now he wasn't able to, getting calls from left, right, and center. And I said, you know what, anytime you experience financial distress, pick up the phone, call the bank, call your creditor, tell them what is going on, and make some sort of payment plan. But hiding your head in the sand, again, it's just not going to work.
People underestimate the power of picking up that phone and just saying, I need... we had a situation with one of my mentees now where she is under debt review. And then we discovered that there'd been a mistake by her debt counsellor. So a home loan with FNB, they had agreed to the debt review, but they were increasing her installment every year. So they kind of went on a lower one and everything. That was the agreement. But the debt counsellor hadn't increased every year. So now suddenly she was in arrears. She panicked. I know what you mean. Like complete panic. Thought her whole life was over. We just contacted FNB and we said, how do we sort this out? And they said, oh, no problem. We'll just, you know, we'll start with this. You know, if she can contribute this amount, we'll just restructure it. And there was no panic. You feel panic. When you suddenly find out that you're 46,000 rand in arrears, you panic. But it was so, and she's like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it would be so easy just to solve the problem. And it's called talking and communication, actually. But I think it's powerful to bring that up because I have been writing quite a few articles about debt review. And on one level, I have put people into debt review. Like I've said to people, I think debt review will be the best thing for you. And they have done so well in debt review. But I think people do sometimes go rush into it in panic and don't understand the consequences. I mean, Shepa did not need to be in debt review, you know, but when it's dangled in front of you as this great solution, you know, it's not necessarily going to be the best solution for you. So I think that is a really powerful point. And talking about debt review, one of my mentees had a really big debt that was outstanding, and she actually could not pay it off. There was no money. We just couldn't. I mean, it was literally a choice of whether she puts food on the table or not.
Goodness.
And I contacted a debt counseling company, and I said to them, could you just look at this and just see what you would advise? And they picked up that the debt had prescribed. Overnight, this debt disappeared.
Oh, my word. They did. The relief, Maya, that she should have.
So she didn't need debt review, but you have to go with a good debt counsellor who will look for that and won't just go and put you under debt review.
Yes.
They did the check and they said, no, this is prescribed. So that is a very powerful tool to use. Yeah.
No, 100%.
But you need to go to the right people.
Yeah, I literally wanted to stress that. Just go with the right company. There are so many people advertising to be, oh, we're going to solve all your problems, and you really, really have to try and
of
find.
Of course, you can DM Mapalone Island.
Yes, we'll tell you. We'll tell you which one. My funniest mentee, Maya. This one was a light one, right? Pretty much a daddy's girl. Always knew that if she has a bit of a shortfall, she can rely on dad. If, you know, things were not working out financially, there's dad. And I remember, I think I said this to you at the beginning. I said, you know what, Maya, I'm going to whip her into shape. And boy, oh boy, I think at the end of the day, she just grew from the program because she had someone she had to be accountable to. I would ask her questions. No, but you said you're going to do your budget. Okay, you had a shortfall. Did you go
you
back to
daddy,
dad?
You and daddy, you were strict.
And I mean, you know, I love my dad. I'm a daddy's girl. But I think there's a certain age as a human being, you really just have to take ownership of your life. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was sort of her lesson. For her, it wasn't so much around money. It was just always saying, no, my dad will take care of it. I said, you're an adult. You need to start making good financial decisions and learning about money for yourself. And even with her, by March next year, she'll be completely debt free because she's put a plan in place and she's not asking dad, oh no, please just pay this off for me.
And I think what's important in her case is that many women can go from that relationship into a marriage where they're now relying on their partners for money. And that is a very, very dangerous. Please, you know, a man is not a financial plan. You know, 50% of marriages will end in a divorce. That's one stat. And the other one is that you are more likely to outlive your partner. So it's just not, we are now in 2024. Yes. So please, you know, let's move with the times. And as women, let's empower ourselves about money. And I think the most, we spoke about it right at the beginning, you know, well earlier, where I was saying that so few men come on this program, mostly women, because women are actually good with money.
Yes.
They
love that, Maya. Say that again. Women are actually
good with money. They are the ones who should be running the money in a household, because we have we think differently. So we are goal orientated. So we'll say we've got to look after the kids.
Yeah.
We need to look after the emergency. We want to plan for a holiday. It is a more of a female planning thing. For some reason, you know, women are think about things differently. They're very goal orientated. Where a man will be a lot more return orientated, which is quite interesting. So if you sit with a financial advisor, always say to me, if they sit with the husband and the wife, the husband will say, what are the returns on the fund? And what's the best performing fund? And what this? And the wife will say, how will this achieve my goals of paying for my child's education?
Yes.
Very different question. Mm. And actually the right question.
Yeah.
So, you know, please get involved. I think for me, you know, woman listening, get involved in your finances. Men listening, please don't feel shame and, you know, and feel like you can't get help. Get help. But also, if you are a man who's managing the household finances, please encourage your wife. In fact, one of my mentees, his husband told her to do this because he said, I want you to know more about money. So I think that's also the relationship that we're looking for.
Yes. You know, there's quite a lot going on social media around like women being princes. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's such a massive danger in not knowing what's going on with your finances. I mean, I remember this lady who's part of my tribe members, as I call them. She says that she thought, oh no, the husband is taking care of this, or you know, the mortgage, like we always say, he's taking care of the bond, he's taking care of the cars. Next thing, there were people in the driveway repossessing the cars because she just kind of assumed that, oh no, it's been taken care of. So it's so important, both men and women, to really be, if you're in a relationship, to talk about money, discuss money, be up to date with what's going on, the payments, and actually have, read your statements. Read your statements.
Please read your statements. I mean, after having been a victim of fraud recently, probably my best advice to anyone is check on a daily basis the transactions going through your bank account.
Talking about checking statements, one of the lessons that came out very strongly was that people actually don't know how to read their debt statements.
Yes.
That
it is confusing, though.
There's quite a lot going on there. I mean, just the simple one on interest rate. People did not know, actually, the higher the interest rate, the more this debt is costing you. And when we are running the numbers, showing them if you put an extra $500, what it will do, that you could see that people became very laser focused, like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm paying 29% in interest. You know, one of the mentees is putting away 7,000 rand every single month towards her debt, but she has an end date. And I think for me, the biggest lesson there is that you can have short-term sacrifices for a longer-term enjoyment. And people around her are complaining, oh, you're so stingy. Why? You know, you don't buy anything. She says, I haven't bought myself clothes.
She got very emotional. She said, you know, I haven't bought a handbag for so long.
She did. She actually did. But I said, you know what? And I think that sometimes that type of pain, Maya, is good, because you always remember that, you know what? You had put yourself in this situation and you did absolutely everything to get out of it. And you'll never want to go back there because you really owned up to the mess that you have created by saying, I actually can come up with a plan.
But, you know, 7,000 Rand is suddenly going to become available.
Oh, my
debt
goodness.
Is paid off. Now you have 7,000 Rand a month to do something with.
No, Maya, that's the extra that she's paying.
Oh, that's the extra she's paying. So, I mean, she's probably maybe, I don't know, 12,000-13,000 Rand that's going to become available, and you can use that to invest.
Oh,
of course, you can use it to make your lifestyle a little easier and buy a few handbags. But I mean, I think that is it. I want to end this podcast by saying I hope everyone goes back and listens from beginning to end, all of our 13 episodes, because we take you through step by step how to achieve this. But the most important thing is to, one of the things I'd really ask you to motivate yourself is go add up how much you are paying every month to debt. What are those monthly amounts that you're paying? And imagine waking up tomorrow morning and that money's a positive in your bank account.
And it's just sitting in your account. And you decide, do I want to save? Do I want to invest? Do I want to take out myself for lunch?
Do I want to go on holiday? That's the power.
That is the true power.
Well, thank you, Mapalo. And thank you to Santam for sponsoring this and allowing us to have these conversations, because I think they've been very, very powerful.
They've been incredibly powerful, Maya. And we urge you, go listen to each and every single one. And we do have downloadables as well.
Yes.
So you can download all this.
The documents, the budgets, all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Please go and do that.